Welcome to Cultivating Hearts Radio Ministry.
Yay!
Just in case you didn't know, it was us. I'm just going to start it by saying it is written.
Amen. Amen.
Yay. So good. I love the word.
You know, I wish you guys were here. We just, I think, solved all the world's problems in the last...
Or at least ours.
Between 15 minutes that we should have been recording. You know, Tanya's right, you know, and Shelley's right, we need to say it is written. Mm-hmm. You know, Tanya brought that up, and Shelley just reminded us. Mm-hmm. We ended with, all right, we're looking at the temptation of Christ in Matthew 4, 1 through 11. And how Satan came to Jesus in the wilderness. The Spirit led him in, and Satan comes and tempts him with, turning stones to bread and the highest point in Jerusalem. And then he ends up coming to the point where he takes him before all the kingdoms of the world and shows him the splendor of the kingdoms. And I want us to see here that the temptations he brought, the bread of life, Jesus is the bread of life. Now, isn't it interesting it was turning stones to bread? Mm-hmm. Now, I want you to think about the desert. How many little stones do you think were sitting out in that desert? Lots. Mm-hmm. Okay, more than we could count. And he could have turned those into bread because he gave manna from heaven.
Absolutely.
For 40 years. And you're just talking 40 days and 40 nights. Jesus could easily have done that. And so, if you think about it, he was testing Christ's purpose. Mm. Okay? He is the bread of life. So, do you see the symbolism coming in? All right, the next one was, Tanya, you have something on that?
I just get a picture of how often we're tempted with lesser bread when we can have him. The bread of life, totally.
You're exactly right. Mm-hmm. And think of it along the same lines in that, in our very purpose of what we're called to do, the temptation can come that can cause us to walk away from that which we're expected to do. Jesus is the bread of life. He did not need stones.
Right.
He is the bread of life. The bread of life. And so, to not allow ourselves to get distracted from what God has given us. And because that's his purpose. The test was his purpose. The second one would come into the peer relational popularity, okay, using the P words. Mm-hmm. So whatever he could with the people. You know, bringing before the people. And so we talked, we ended last week in how it was sensationalism and, you know, standing at the highest point so the whole city could see. Mm-hmm. And, you know, just this huge spectacular display when he is splendor.
It's validation.
Yeah. Yeah. It really is.
Because, notoriety.
Yeah. Yeah, and oh my goodness, God forgive me. How often do I want that?
Yeah, well, we all do.
Well, I got up and did this. I hope somebody, you know, I'll just confess my sin. You know, needing that word of encouragement. Mm-hmm. If I'm at the point where I have to do something because I need to be encouraged, I'm out of the will of God. I need to be doing it because it is God's will. Mm-hmm. Period. Not because a word of encouragement is going to come. Mm-hmm. Okay, mm-hmm. So there's a sin. I'm confessing. God forgive me. Help me get that right. Because I don't want to worship anyone or anything except for the Lord, which is the third one, which is he takes him to the high mountains to show him all the splendors of the earth and says, if you bow down and worship me, and what you have to understand, that's God's ultimate plan.
Right. That's why we were created.
Right. Mm. To worship him. Do you see how our purpose, the people, and then the plan, do you see how it all how he can distort it? And I love how the word of God just shows clearly, we're always to be moving toward, you know, worship of him, the worship of him and him alone. And I found this word, it's maseh, M-A-H-S-E-H. And when we were talking last week in Psalm 91, 11 through 12, and that Satan removed that in all your ways, it actually comes from refuge. And that he's our shelter from danger. Mm.
And so if we are in the will of God, that psalm is actually promising to the child of God that refuge, that shelter for the storm. And I think that's why Psalm 91 is the favorite psalm for men and women in the military and the police force, firemen. That's like the psalm they always claim. It's because it reveals the shelter from danger. Mm-hmm. And when we choose to go out of his way, that's when we are placed in the position of danger. And then it also takes us out of God's plan, his ultimate purpose. So it begins with our individual before the people and then ultimately to his plan. Tanya?
You know, it's so hard, I think, when you're in this, that you, especially if you feel distant from God, to really experience and know he is your shelter. You can read it, you can have it here in your head, but to actually know and live with that absolute, no matter how you feel, that he is your shelter and your refuge. And just instead of following the flow of emotion, holding on to the truth and waiting for your emotions to kind of come back. Because if we sit over here, I know if I sit on my emotions and get away from that truth, wow, can I ponder really far away from God, really far? And then it's even harder to really believe that truth and hear from him. So then this becomes my reality over there.
Right.
Yeah.
And I don't want to be in that, because that reality is not good.
Right. No, it's very awful.
Yeah.
And that's where it comes with be still.
Be still, and it is written.
I am God, and it is written.
take a cap.
Got two now.
Getting back to it is written. I'm going to be saying that it is written a lot. Hebrews 5:8. Would one of y'all look that up, and let's see what Hebrews 5:8 had to say about Jesus in response to what happened here in this time of temptation with Satan, because it's quite profound. And we really want to get this and understand it, because ultimately it comes down to this. Mm. Okay, Hebrews 5:8. Who has it?
I do.
Bible drill. Go ahead, Sandy.
Although he was a son, he learned obedience from what he had suffered, and once made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him, and was designated by God to be high priest in the order of
Melchizedek.
Thank you.
Melchizedek.
Lifeline.
Melchizedek. Melky guy.
Yeah.
Okay. He was the son, and he learned obedience from what he suffered. Mm. So, Tanya, you just gave us testimony how it's not easy, but we learn obedience. And then what is the promise? Salvation in that verse? Mm-hmm. It says salvation for those who
obey him.
Obey.
Yeah. That's the key right
obedience.
Here. It's the obedience. It didn't matter that Satan was bringing before him the basic needs and the popularity of man or the promise of splendor. He walked in obedience even when his body was weak, even though his body was suffering. He chose obedience. It just makes me want to cry.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, God, help me. Help me to want obedience so much that even while I am suffering, that I am willing to
obey.
Move forward
yeah.
and obey, to do the will. No, I don't always, but
yeah.
I sure have the heart to. I
yeah.
can tell you, I do have the want to. So as we're looking at this, what is it that you think we need to share with those that we are discipling? Based on this?
On the whole passage you're thinking,
just
asking?
On the Hebrews 5:8,
Hebrews 5:8.
Thinking through with the temptation. What is it that people need to know? Because we're on making disciples.
Mm-hmm.
How are we going to help our disciples to follow Jesus? Because it's not us. We know that. Because that goes back to it has to be the bread of life. It's not about me, not popularity. It's to worship him and him alone. So what do they need?
They need that verse. We need this verse.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a learning process. It doesn't happen overnight. It'll be for the rest of our life.
Focus there, Tanya. He learned.
It's learned right. obedience.
Learned mm-hmm. obedience.
And choice.
Yeah, well, it's the choice. Choice to,
it's always a choice.
Choice to be willing to learn that obedience. Right. There's nothing more beautiful than watching. My son is the person I can see it physically happening in him as he processes to walk in obedience. Mm-hmm. So somebody, Michaela will be occupied with something, so she's off at ballet, and Dong is going off to football, and Grant's the child that ended up staying home, and, and I needed help. Okay, this is a regular routine. Grant, would you please take care of da-da-da? And I can see him freeze. I can see the jawline process. I'm the one that's home, yet I'm the one that has to do, because I'm the one that's here. Yet they are at this, and they're at this.
Having fun.
And so I can see him processing. He doesn't speak it. And then he will say, okay. And then he'll go and take care of it. I watch on his face the process of a heart that is willing to learn obedience, mm-hmm. even though I could see initially everything in his flesh said no.
Yep.
Did he roll his eyes?
You know, there are times that, yes, that happens, but he is the child that will always move forward to where it's, I will choose that obedience. And I've watched that happen. I can't tell you how many times, and God has just convicted me of the beauty child. Of willingness to learn obedience. I had it happen to me at another circumstance where my mom and I were talking, and she was sharing with me about a situation that was actually kind of really tough. And I ended up speaking, it is written, in what she needed to do. And I expected for her to come back at me why she shouldn't. And my mom said, you're right. Mm. And so I watched my mom go from moving forward to attack in the flesh to, oh my goodness, it is written, you're right. And taking a complete about face and turn in her heart to go the other way, because she has such a heart of obedience. That I froze, because I was expecting a fight. Mm. And instead, I had a person, like, I saw it happen in her. She made the choice to walk in obedience. And I thought, God, I want that. Mm. I want to look like mm-hmm. that. That if I am confronted with the truth, that I am willing to move forward in obedience. That's the heart of this lesson. Mm-hmm. The Spirit allowed him to be led into the wilderness because he knew the Son would learn obedience through his suffering as a model to us, so that we will willingly learn obedience.
Right.
I have a new life verse.
Is it speaking to you, Tanya?
Yeah, I need this. Just needed to be reminded.
Now, don't you think it? Let's go back to that Satan removed in all your ways.
Yeah.
He is the way, the truth, and the life. And in all his ways, he learned obedience through what he suffered.
And that, yeah, he suffered. So yeah. We have to suffer.
Yeah.
In obedience.
And it's not even saying, you know, that I have to go be a martyr. Because that's not what God is asking. It's
it means
just
that
saying
flesh.
That,
it's saying no to flesh.
Yeah. Just as I'm walking this life, that I'm willing to say, you know, I want the fruit of the Spirit. I'm not afraid to pray for patience. I want God's answer to patience. Because I don't want to be in a circumstance and not be asking for his patience, you know. And
yeah, we
need
it before that circumstance.
We do. And, you know, how often do you hear, don't pray for patience, you're going to get tested. Well, the reality is I would rather be praying for patience and have the fruit of the Spirit of patience evident in me than face a trial and have not asked for it and not have it. Does that make sense?
Which that does.
Takes us back to character.
I was just laughing because of that cliche, or whatever you want to call it, don't pray for patience because God will test you or something like that. You know, I was looking at James. When tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when, by his own evil desire, he is dragged away and enticed.
Because we need to learn obedience.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Or we wouldn't be dragged away.
That's right. All right. So, as we are examining Christ and we're examining the temptation, let's go back to the very, very beginning we were looking at this. Why does Satan test Jesus' sonship now with everything we've dialogued for the whole month? As a way of bringing it back.
Why is he saying if? Is that what you're saying?
Why did Satan test his sonship? It's answered in Hebrews 5:8.
Okay, I'm going back to 5:8.
Because what would happen to mankind if Jesus did not?
Okay. He's our source of salvation.
Yeah. That's
right.
Yeah,
we wouldn't have that if he was broken. Correct.
Mm-hmm. It was because our souls.
Right.
That's why he went after him in that area.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
It is so, so big.
Satan could have said, bingo.
Yeah. Gotcha.
Yeah, gotcha. Okay, now, as we are tested in our daughtership or our sonship, it's not like Jesus, it's different in that it's through him that we have salvation. Who might be the person that is missing salvation if we don't learn obedience? As a disciple, that's a question we have to ask ourselves, and that's one that makes me want to cry. Because if I am not learning obedience as a child of God, a follower of Christ, somebody is going to be hindered in my lack of willingness to learn. I don't want that. Okay, so how can we pray this into our lives? What are we going to pray so that we can pray this into our lives? How are we going to pray this into us? What can we pray? Lord, let me learn obedience the way Jesus did. Lord, let me be a person who counters temptation with "it is written."
Yes.
Can you think of other things that you might want to add to that? The Lord, help your
make the right choices.
Right choices. Your word.
Stay in your will.
To stay in your will, right. Your way. Good, good.
And to not succumb to our evil desires.
Okay.
Evil motives that you reveal.
That's right. That's right. That's right.
Give us the strength to follow through in your plan and purpose for our life.
Yeah. And not to pursue the popularity or sensationalism. Wow. God just summed up beautifully, didn't he, for us, this whole going through and dialoguing, just asking questions is what we did about this passage. Father, right now I just lift up any person who is listening and has dialogued with us as we've gone through the scripture on this passage. I pray, Heavenly Father, that they hear your voice and that each of us are willing to learn obedience the way Jesus did, and that we not be afraid of our suffering because you give us the way. And Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and that no one shall come to the Father except through him. And I pray, Heavenly Father, that as we are countered with lies, that we withstand those lies with the word of God, because Jesus is the word. We love you, and we praise you in Jesus' name. Thanks for listening to Cultivating Hearts. We look forward to hearing from you at cultivatinghearts.org or terrorye.com or at opendoormission.org. God bless.